Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's switch gears. Let's talk some Packers first with You Know Who.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Yes, let's. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our green and gold analyst, Paul Immig. What's up, Paul? How you doing?
Joe, good to talk with you on the air, buddy. How are you?
I am doing swell. So there's always some Packer news, even after we're done with mini camps and OTAs, because Brett Favre was at the AmFam Championship this past weekend out in Madison. He was playing golf with Jack Nicklaus and Andy North and Toby Keith, and he did a couple of press conferences with the media. I want to read you this quote from Brett talking about this whole dynamic between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, because that has been the hot topic. Here's the quote from Favre at the AmFam Championship. Quote, "Aaron will be fine. I think that the thing is he needs to remain the same, and I don't have to give him any advice. You know, he'll handle it well. The question is, how will they, being the Green Bay Packers, handle it with him? And obviously, that's very important. I mean, there's more to the team than Aaron, but we all have to admit that when he's playing and playing well, which generally, when he's playing, he is playing very well, you don't want to change what's working. There's other factors that you have to work on." Favre goes on to say, quote, "So I think you let him play his game and not disturb that very much. And it's going to be interesting to see if that happens." So that's what Brett Favre had to say between Aaron Rodgers and this new Packers regime, Matt LaFleur and company, Nathaniel Hackett, all those guys. In other words, Favre is saying, look, the coaching staff needs to adapt to Aaron. Aaron doesn't have to do anything at all. Is that the right approach, or do both of these guys, Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, each have to sacrifice something? And Paul, I know you've said it yourself. You're skeptical about how this might work out going into training camp.
Yeah, I mean, first off, not surprising that a former quarterback, a former teammate of Rodgers, would take this angle. I mean, that's probably the least shocking part of any part of it, is that he's not going to, you know, Brett Favre is 10 years Matt LaFleur's senior. You know, Favre's 49, LaFleur's 39. Former teammate of Rodgers, obviously all these things. So it's not surprising that he thinks the Packers and LaFleur's system should adapt to Rodgers and not vice versa. Once you kind of crack, I think, beyond that piece of it, this is where I just, you know, you struggle with this balance of power. Who's really in charge? When the quarterback is making an average of $30-something million per year, Matt LaFleur making in the range of like $4 to $6 million per year is your pretty standard head coaching contract. And then you have the quarterback. Like, I think had Rodgers not said publicly what he said in the Mike Silver article, you might still kind of, you know, if you're, whether you're LaFleur or you're Mark Murphy, you know, you might still kind of be wondering to yourself, well, what position publicly is Rodgers going to take on this who's in charge thing, or who should adapt to who thing? And then Rodgers made his thoughts very clear and very public. NFL.com is about as public as comments can go, and that's, of course, where Silver's article lives. So this now becomes in the hands of player management. You know, this isn't even like coaching, I don't think, Joe. I think this is management, right? Like, this is, you know, I really think baseball is like a really good example of why they don't call Craig Counsell the coach of the Brewers. There's a hitting coach, there's a pitching coach, there's a fielding coach. Craig Counsell manages. It's a lot of, you know, balancing of egos and lineup, and does this guy feel he needs to be playing more, and is this guy, I'm not just a platoon lefty-righty. Like, at this point, the LaFleur relationship with Rodgers isn't, like, coaching. Really, I mean, of course, like, a percentage of it is, don't get me wrong, but, like, it's 90% or more of management, and, like, how do I get on the same page with Rodgers? I now have Rodgers' comments on this publicly. Now Brett Favre is chiming in, like, you know, saying that I'm, you know, in essence, as far as saying that I, LaFleur, need to adapt to Rodgers, and he needs to just continue to play his game at quarterback because he's a Hall of Famer, et cetera, et cetera. It just puts more and more on the plate of a first-year head coach who is only a one-year offensive coordinator who, if he gets his way, wants to run the Shanahan offense, essentially, which has a lot of pre-snap motion and has a lot of these things that don't allow for an at the line of scrimmage adjustments made by the quarterback. So I'm not skeptical it can work, Joe. I'm just like, I think it's enough to put nerves into a Packers fan's brain because it's just, you have, again, as I said to Bill last week, from an ideological football offense perspective, they see offense two different ways. Can they make that and turn that into magic? Maybe. Could it be a huge disaster? Maybe. You know, like, I think the floor and the ceiling of how good or bad this could be as a marriage between two people on the football field is a huge spectrum, I think, and that's what only adds to the fascination when you have guys like Favre of his stature coming out and kind of having Rodgers back in this whole thing.
Talking about Green and Gold analyst Paul Imig here on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And it's not just Rodgers and LaFleur that are trying to get on the same page. It's the rest of this offense. And, sure, you know, the one area of the offense that really I have a big question mark about, Paul, is the wide receiving core. Because, we all know it's a younger group. Davante Adams, he knows his stuff. But then after that, it kind of tapers off. You've got Geronimo Allison and a bunch of young guys. These guys were just getting used to McCarthy's system last year. Now they got to relearn an entire new system this year. I'm just having a hard time gauging the potential, the upside of what the wide receiving core brings because, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sold that this is an elite group of receivers. I'm not sold on any of that. Not to mention, you got to throw Jimmy Graham into the mix, and no one knows how Jimmy Graham is going to look in this kind of scheme, which seems to have a greater emphasis on tight ends. But I'm not really sold that this is a good receiving core. How do you feel?
Well, you first said you're not sure it's an elite receiving core, and then you said you're not sure it's a good receiving core. I'll bridge the gap. Like,
right.
It's not elite. Like, as a group, this isn't like a top 8 wide receiver group yet. And I say yet because by week 5, we might be saying, hey, all this scaling, my goodness, I mean, the guy's a beast, you know, or you might be saying that about Equanimeous St. Brown, or I, you know, maybe Jamon Moore if he has a huge bounce back or something, but maybe even Jake Kumerow, who Rodgers remains, you know, head over heels in love with.
He loves him.
He loves Jake Kumerow, man. And, you know, really, I think, and you look at, like, does the wide receiver group have a ton of importance? Of course it does. But you do have an offense now that, you know, you talked about, you know, the McCarthy offense, and I know there are differing opinions on this, but it was like, McCarthy was like, if you really, really want to simplify it, said, hey guys, go get open. And which puts a lot of pressure on wide receivers. What it would seem like, having, you know, judging the Shanahan offense and some of the stuff that, of course, LaFleur is going to try to mimic, is there's going to be a lot more guys being schemed open. And even Davante Adams talked about that during minicamp of, like, how many more times, without really having to do extra work, Davante is realizing, wow, I'm always open. Like, I'm always being schemed into open space. Like, this is, you know, now I'm putting words in his mouth, but this is a lot easier. Like, this is just, you know, it takes a big load off of a wide receiver's management in terms of what they all have to do. And then you add into that fact that the running backs are going to get the ball in the passing game, it would seem, at least, if LaFleur has his way, more than they ever did in a Mike McCarthy offense. You also mentioned the tight ends. Like, you know, I'm definitely on the skeptical aspect of Jimmy Graham having this bounce back season that he thinks he's going to have and that the Packers think he's going to have. Like, I have to see that before I believe that, because he's not exactly had, you know, it's been a while since he's had a truly good season in the NFL. He's had, you know, some decent seasons in Seattle, but not the guy that anybody remembers from New Orleans. So it's like the wide receiver group is headed by an elite wide receiver. Davante Adams is clearly top 5. You could argue top 3 in the league. And then you sort of have a depth quantity play. Like, if it's not MVS, then it's EQ. If it's not EQ, then it's Kumerow. Then it's Jamon Moore. And, you know, really, I would say about Geronimo Allison, he was really, before his what injuries he suffered, week 3, week 4, pretty early last year, he and Rodgers really got on the same page in those first few games.
Yeah.
And it looked like things were going to take off between them. So, it's, you know, it's a great receiver with a bunch of guys that are fighting for, like, the 3 through 7 spot. You know, with, you know, if Geronimo's your number 2, you know, there's certainly better number twos in the league, but there's also worse number twos. It kind of depends if he has a bounce back from the injury and all that. So I guess because of the running backs being included in the offense from passing game perspective, because Adams is there, and because it's Rodgers and a scheme that now is going to, you know, presumably get these guys open more often without having to do the work on their own, I guess I'm probably more optimistic than it sounds like you might be, but I totally get where you're coming from, because it is Adams and then, like, a bunch of young dudes, and that's always a bit of a mystery when that happens, like when a position group is set up that way.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emig joins us here on the Bill Michaels Show. So I was going through this last night with all of the divisions in the NFL as we kind of sit in a holding pattern now as we're about a month away from training camp. I was kind of thinking, like, the NFC North, that seems to be the toughest division in football. I was kind of going through it in my head, going by division, and I just think that might be the biggest question mark is who comes out of the North. There's just so much there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the AFC East. Patriots are going to own that still. It's not the AFC West, unless you really think like the Raiders or something. NFC East, it seems like it's a crapshoot every year. I guess you could probably, like, I would probably, you know, if I was putting together who I think was going to make the NFC playoffs this year, I probably would put both the Eagles and the Cowboys in there. So maybe that makes the East a good division. But Washington's probably going to be a mess, especially without Alex Smith. The Giants are obviously a mess. So that's really like a two-team race.
Yep.
You know, I always kind of expect the Lions, you know, if you do go in the Packers division, like, the Lions will probably just be the Lions. Like, they'll go 8-8, and no one will blink because it's the Lions. Like, that's just sort of like the default. But I think, like, there's two fascinating things happening in the division that don't include the Packers, which the Packers are probably the most fascinating team in the division. New coach, like, new defensive setup, a second year under Pettine with a bunch of new players who got paid a ton of money or high draft picks. But, like, the Bears are coming off, like, way overperforming, I think, from what people thought the Bears were going to do. But the Vikings are coming in having way underperformed from what they're going to do. So, like, where's the median? Like, where's the middle of that? Like, are the Bears and Lions, are the Bears and the Vikings both going to be, like, 10-6-ish? Because if they are, and the Lions are 8-8, then you have a hell of a division in front of you. I just don't know if, you know, if the Bears and Vikings can both do that, you know. Man, you know, but like from a depth quality perspective, Joe, and I'm not looking at all the, you know, the divisions right in front of me or anything, but quick glance through my head, yeah, it does kind of feel that way, like in terms of like parity. There's not like a clear-cut bad team. Like Detroit's not good, but they're not, you know.
They're not horrible.
They're not the Raiders. They're not Washington.
No.
They're not the Giants. Like, there's no team like in that total rebuild play for the future mode. So, yeah, I think that might be a good point, and not a good point that you want to make if you're the Packers, because you're as the Brewers can relate to, who are in a division of like a strong parity. It's hard to get easy wins, and when 6 of your 16 games are against these teams, and none of those games are easy, then, you know, yeah, that's tough to start off your season on the schedule knowing that 6 of your 16 aren't. That none of those are, you know, cakewalks. And that's a good point, Joe.
Paul, we don't have much time left. I did want to get your thoughts, though, on Keston Hiura. Would you be surprised if Keston Hiura is not called up by the Milwaukee Brewers by the end of the week?
Yes, and I know that you saw Kyle, our buddy Kyle at Brew Crew Ball, reached out to you guys just like he did to me over the weekend when I was explaining that Travis Shaw and Jesus Aguilar are a combined minus 1.6 wins above replacement. Minus 1.6, Joe, and they each have 200 plate appearances. So you're giving 400 plate appearances to a minus 1.6 wins above replacement. Now Keston Hiura, as Kyle pointed out, is super two. He's beyond his super two status. So why the hell not? Like, if not this week, when? You know. So I would, to answer your question, I would be surprised. And I would need one heck of an explanation to tell me why he's not, if in fact by Friday, Saturday, he's not back up.
Yep, I completely agree, and we're going to talk more about it coming up next. Paul, as always, thank you so much, and we'll chat again on Wednesday when Billy Mike is back in studio.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Joe.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, always joining us here on the Bill Michaels Show, and from time to time we do talk a little Brewers and some Bucks because he is a big fan of those teams. Paul joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them at 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.